Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each one of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So far the reading of the text. Dearly beloved in Christ, the only Savior of the world, O love, how deep, how broad, how high, beyond all thought and fantasy, that God, the Son of God, should take our mortal form for mortals' sake. As we begin this Lenten journey of faith, we do so through the lens of the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We will be looking at the hymn we just sang, O Love, How Deep, as an aid to help us reflect upon what the love of God really is and how it is that we can grab hold of such a big, amazing thing. Part of the challenge with such self-examination is that we do so always looking at and considering our own sin and unworthiness using our own standard. But of course, that's not good enough. For if you examine yourself and compare it to Jesus, you will lose. In tonight's gospel, Jesus exhorts the disciples and the gathered crowds not to practice their righteousness in front of others. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, he says. Furthermore, don't let your prayers become an excuse to show off how good of a Christian you are. It's hard though, isn't it? I want to get credit for the work that I do. How can I get credit if no one knows about it? So when I do something that I think is a good work, I want some kind of acknowledgement. Okay, maybe not a parade, but at least some recognition that I've done a good thing. Yet, as we remember our good works, as we picture in our minds a parade of our righteousness, we hear the words which highlight what Ash Wednesday is really all about. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It's as if I, the pastor, am saying, yeah, but you're still going to die. So what good are your good works, really? But then the hymn goes on to tell us that Jesus took on our mortal form for mortals' sake. That means Jesus knows your mortality. He knows you're going to die because of your sin. We all will. And yet, the love of God is not a math equation. It isn't just something we can act like we understand. Just because I love something, such as a sunset, doesn't mean I understand the love of God. No. The love of God is higher, broader, and deeper than we can ever imagine. It is, as the hymn says, beyond all thought and fantasy. The love of God is the very thing behind the word mystery. A mystery is not the same as a puzzle. With a puzzle, once you figure it out, then you're done. But with a mystery, the more you come to understand, the more aware you are that you know nothing. The mystery of God's love penetrates to the very heart of the Christian faith. It's what makes Christianity different from any other religion or faith. It's what shapes us as a people. It's what inspires us and moves us forward. But love is not something to be understood. Not really. No, love is a gift that is ever growing, ever changing. Why? Because the love of God is always moving toward you, sinner. We run around, parade our good works, and try to convince both the world and even our own hearts that we are worthy of God's love. But we're just running in circles. No number of prayers, no fasting and outward acts of piety will ever bring you closer to God. You need a go-between. You need a bridge. You need an intermediary who will bear your grief and carry your sin. In a word, you need Jesus. So comes this day and this season and the call to repent of your sins. We don't need something, even a bit of ash, to be a sign of our piety and self-righteousness. Rather, we remember that we are dust. And thus the ashes you may see on others are a sign of the death that you will inherit apart from Jesus. It's a sign of what we deserve. And like ash that does not wipe off easily, the more you try to rub it out, the more you try to rub out your sins on your own, the dirtier and messier they become. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to die for your sins and to rise again so that you may have life. It is a mystery beyond all comprehension. It's a treasure beyond price. It is a gift that can come only by grace, and it is a gift that is received only by grace. So come this day to the table. Here you will not eat the dust of the earth, but Jesus' very body and blood. Here you are drawn into the very life of God for you. It is indeed a mystery, but it is a mystery that is beyond all thought and fantasy. God takes on your mortal form so that you may live. And in exchange, He gives you His life, His works, His very self. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding,
keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.